This is Ryan Gard. I'm the high school pastor here at Mission. If you're brand new, so glad you're here. We've got a fun day planned for you. Actually, just a fun little bit. I'm not going to go with you the rest of your day, but this morning should be interesting. I'm doing a two-week series, but before we get into that, I want to tell you a couple things. I'm doing a two-week series on dating and how you do that. You're coming straight from the lips of an expert, and we're going to have some fun. But before we do, I want to tell you a couple things. First, just take a breath for a moment. Just be here. Be like fully here, okay? Look around. Say hi to someone next to you. Just say hi real quick. I'm sorry that Nathan Del Turco made you raise your hand if you're new. How could you? Oh, just kidding. Hi. Hello. Wow. Say hi to someone. You picked me. Fantastic. Nice to meet you. This is a popular section over here. There's a lot of people over here. It's interesting. Nice. Anyways, observation. Hey, before we go into what I'm going to do with you this morning, which I can't wait for because last night was interesting. We'll get to that. A couple things. Number one. We are heading to, if you want to be a part of this community, I know some of you are just checking it out, kind of test driving the thing, but if you want to really join us and be a part of what we're doing, we meet on Wednesday nights, and if you want information on that, we meet Wednesday nights. There's six local homes with like 30, 40, 50 people in each one that are diving into a Bible study and getting to know each other. So if you're interested in that, I want you to come and find me personally afterwards, cool? So if you want to take another step and get to know us, house groups, what a creative name. We have groups in houses. What do we call this? It's fantastic. 212 of you are a part of that right now. The second thing, after this, like right after this, there's a tribe of people, 36 in all, that are a part of the Shake It greeting team. Shake It. Not like, wow. That are here and they're trying to do everything they can to make you feel welcome when you come here. If you want to be a part of that, like legitimately want to be a part of it, you should come. If you want to come on the weekend and get here like 15, 20 minutes early, make sure everybody coming through the doors gets candy or a weekly or a high five or germs. Whatever you want to give, we would love to have you come and join us to join that team. Today at 12, we have a lunch meeting where there. I say this hesitantly because you are freegans. You'll eat anything free. But there will be pizza involved if you want to come. If you're on the Shake It team already, you better come. All right? So come at 12 o'clock. We're going to brainstorm and do some fun stuff. Second, fourth, third, all of the Facebook and Vimeo and Twitter and Instagram accounts for the Mission High School Ministry, you can find all of those on the back of the weekly that we handed you. But those need a little love. Not like you need to go double tap some photo. They need a little bit of new life. And so what we're doing is we're actually throwing it out to the creatives and saying, hey, do you want to recreate, do you want to design the new Mission High School Ministry logo? And if you do, this is the old school sort of neon one. It's like pretty simple. It's cool-ish. But we need a little bit something that says a little more about us. And so all it needs to literally say is HSM, High School Ministry, not High School Musical. It just needs to say that. And if you want to create it and submit it, you have 2 weeks. And we've got a fatty prize for whoever wins. And we'll probably use the others. We won't call them losers because we'll probably still use them in some way. But if you want to create a new graphic for the High School Ministry, just make it a square. That's all it's got to be. It doesn't need to be like rectangular. Just make it a square and email it to me. My email or Lily's email is on that weekly. So. And then, I have something you don't have. This is a summer camp flyer. Because this July, 8th to the 13th, we are leaving town. We are going. Jacob, how'd you get that? You jerk. You came last night, didn't you? That was an amazing moment. Jacob Lorianti and I, and 100 others that came last night, have a high school ministry summer camp flyer. You can have one too for 90. No. Today, on your way out of here, you're going to be handed one of these. It's got all the details. Listen, this is my 12th year of doing this. This is my 12th summer camp. And 12 times, 11 times before, you have not listened to me and signed up early. And almost every year of my career, we have had people go, hey, I still want to go to camp. And I'm like, we leave in 2 hours, man. Is there still spots? Last year, we took 175 of you to camp and like 150 to one, and then 25 of us took vans to San Diego. And we went to Forest Home with a bunch of us and then San Diego with a bunch of us. And I loved both of those, okay? Fantastic camps. And if you've never been to like a camp, don't picture tents or stuff like that, like your dad trying to cook hot dogs and wash pot. That's not what we're doing. We leave town, and I've got something new for you. I was hesitant to do this. But I asked my staff, so all the volunteers and paid staff and all that, I asked them what we should do, and we decided to make an exciting change. Now, I made the change because I think it's going to be better. And we all couldn't actually even fit where we were. Like, there was too many of us at the old camp. And you kind of felt that. When we were at Forest Home, we were the camp. Like, it was just all of us and then, like, 80 others. We were like, "Err." So we were dominating everything. It was kind of embarrassing for everyone else except for us and me because I usually wear Crocs at summer camp. But anyway, side note, we are going to somewhere new, and I want to take you with me. And I've asked for almost 200 spots at this brand new spot. For me to leave Forest Home and head to, that's not it. That's just the graphic. That's like New York or something. We're going to New York! No, I'm just kidding. Cost is only $900. We are going to go to a little city in California called La Mirada, and we are going to go to a campus called Biola, which is an amazing school that many of you are hoping to go to afterwards, and we're going to stay on the college campus pretty dang close to the water, and we're going to be doing a week of camp there. There's a camp called MOVE, M-O-V-E, put on by an organization called Christ in Youth. Don't worry about all that. But this organization, they put on this camp all over the country. They just dominate spots. They go into like Oklahoma and New York and Florida, and they throw together these massive camps for people. And we're going to be in SoCal, basically near LA, at this camp, and it's going to be incredible. This one's called Rise Up. The theme of this summer there is called Rise Up. And what I liked about it is because it's, if you've been in the church for a long time, and you've been to camp, you've been to more camps than I have, you've kind of know what's coming. Like Tuesday night, they're going to say something like, "Come back to Jesus," which is great. And then Thursday, it's going to be like, "Come to him for the first time." And it's this programmed, regimented, sort of same old thing. And there's going to be this thing. And I love all those things, but after a while, you're just sort of used to it. So I'm shaking everything up, and we're going to do something fun. We'll have plenty of fun. I've actually listed as many things as I could think of that we're going to do that are fun. There's a handful of things on here that are promises, but you're going to be challenged to literally like rise up in your faith. And we're going to look at the story of Joseph this summer, and we're going to just dive into this thing, and you're going to be stretched and challenged, and I want that for you because I'd hate for you to be a boring Christian. I'd hate for you to be a boring human being, but this camp is going to be legit. And I absolutely just love that the cost is $385 versus like $550 that we've been charging you in the past. So this July 8th to the 13th, you can start signing up today. This is the first day. Grab your spot. For me to leave Forest Home, the last camp that we went to, for those of you that know me, that's literally my favorite place on the planet. Like that is my favorite place on the globe. I would go there and stay there. And that just is my favorite. For me to leave there and to go somewhere else with you means something. All right, take that credibility. But it's this, it's $385 total cost. And here's something fun for you. On the flyer, you can go look at the camp. It's got the website and you can go see everything. And then I put a little bullet point for my friends at the bottom. It says, this camp is open to all high school students in 2013, 2014, or those that are graduating this May. So you super seniors that are not quite ready to leave camp and want to come with us, well, sign up, suckers. All right, so let's do this. I'm going to pray, and then afterwards you'll get a flyer and all that information, but I need to pray before I say what I'm about to say, okay? Okay. Jesus, help me to say what you would say if you were here. I mean, we have your word. We have the Bible, but I'm an idiot sometimes, and I say things that are distracting, but this morning, as we talk about what we're going to talk about, I pray that this would be a time for us to be real, to be honest, and to be willing to change if necessary. I pray that we're encouraged if we're discouraged. I pray that ultimately we would know that you are absolutely madly in love with us, and you do genuinely have a plan for our life, a way for us to live. And so we step into this, and we pray that you're here. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I started dating Lindsay, she's in the back of the room. I didn't know she was coming this morning, so this will be fun for her. We had the moment where it was basically, we were no longer friends. We were something more. And we were out in her front yard after watching a movie inside or something, and she was standing there, and it was always super romantic, like the longest hug ever. And then it was this moment where it was like, what are we doing here? What's this thing about? And I wanted to cross the line and move it beyond like just buddies or even boyfriend, girlfriend. And I wanted to tell her like I loved her. So I said, hey, I'll speed it up for you because it was long and embarrassing. But I said, I don't even like you anymore. Because I'm weird like that. I'm always doing that in moments that should be sweet and special. I'm like, I farted. You know? I didn't in that moment. But I said, I don't even like you anymore. I love you. Remember that? And wasn't it just pathetic? You were like, I love that everyone just turned and looked at you. And she didn't say anything back. She didn't reciprocate. She was like, thanks, buddy, or something like that. She's like, that's great. I have to poop. Or whatever she did. I'm sorry, I did it again. See, that should have been a sweet moment, and I talked about pooping. But I remember just throwing it out there. All right, I threw it out there. I was like, I love you. And as we were sort of friending and hanging out a lot, I was always sitting next to her, and I was always trying to find her, and I was looking for her. If I was at a party or we were hanging out with friends, it sucked until she got there. And I wanted to be around her. You know what it's like, right? And you have that moment where it's finally like you're going to click. When you've stepped into a dating relationship, I always ask you how you did it. And some of you haven't dated yet, and God bless you. But some of you have, right? And all of a sudden, it happens in here all the time. Like, you'll just walk in holding hands, and I'm like, what? What happened? It's been 6 days, man. She was sitting over here. You were over here. And all of a sudden, you're like, I love you so much. I'll see you later. Text me. Like, it's like so fast. And I'm always like, how did that happen? How did you actually step into the relationship? How did the agreement form? How did you define the relationship? How did the DTR go down? How did it happen? And it's always different. And it's usually the girl that starts it. It's usually the girl that's like, so we've been hanging out for a while and... Always the girl. She's like, Matt, are you all right? Always me. We've been hanging out for a while, and hey, look at me when I'm talking to you. Yeah, sweetie, it's been good. And what do you think about, what do you call us? What is this? This is good. This is like great. Like, you want to know what he's thinking, so you throw it out there. You're feeling a little vulnerable, probably, if you've been the one on the sending side. You're feeling like, I got to put my heart out there. I got to see what he's thinking. He's, newsflash, ladies, he's not thinking. Like, I'll just give it to you. He's not thinking in that moment. Like, some of you are a little more romantic, and maybe you are, but most of the dudes in the room are just like, no, it's good, man. It's good. It's great. But the girl's like, I'm going to throw it out there, okay? I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to see what he thinks. I'm going to offer my love, my relationship. I'm going to give it. And then he's got to find a way to say something and sign the deal, and then that happens. You kind of hook up as a couple. Next week called the breakup. So please come next week. That'll be fun. Next week I'm calling the whole thing the breakup. Doesn't that look like James Pierce on the left? Anyway, sorry, random. It totally does. But tonight, we're talking about the hookup and what happens afterwards. But before we do, you absolutely have to hear something absolutely true from me. Because I'm going to say some hard things today, to me and to you. Today, we're talking about this hookup, this idea that people are going to date. And before we even get into that, whatever your mom or dad says trumps whatever I say. If your mom and dad have said something that counters what I say, you live in their house, you follow their rules, you respect and honor and obey your parents. And they're listening to this sermon right now, loving me. All right, so you do. Okay, you've got to trump me there. But I'm going to throw you some things. If you are going to date eventually or now, I have some ideas for you. But before we get there, you have to understand that much like when I threw the I love you at Lindsay, when I just threw it out there and hoped, and when I offered myself to her, like in that relationship, in that full commitment, I treasured that word, man. I didn't want to just give it to her like freely, like, I love you and tacos. I meant it when I said I was vulnerable in that moment. I gave her that, and she waited a while to reciprocate, eventually did. But it was scary, man, being on the sending side and just waiting. And imagine what it's like for God. I mean, imagine what it's like for our Creator to be in that kind of vulnerable situation where he would send his son into the world to become a man, to live and die and resurrect, conquer death for us as really an extension of his love, and to go, look, I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to throw it out. I'm going to say it before you do that I love you. I'm going to say it first that I love you. So he has said that to you. He is saying that to you. And if you're not sure about that for you individually, you would have to argue pretty heavily against the cross and go, I don't know, the cross, that probably was an overreaction. Like, why did he have to pay that penalty? He could have just done something else or like taken an eraser to our sin. No, he proved it to you. So I'm laying that over this whole talk. You are loved. You are loved. I am laying the teachings of Jesus over this talk, that you are forgiven and there is grace and mercy for you. I'm going to John chapter 8 in my head, and I'm thinking about the woman who was hooking up with this dude, having sex with this husband, and these authorities like came in and caught her, and she's just this like neighborhood hooker, right? And they roll in and they're like, you, and where's the dude? He like runs off naked or something. He gets away scot-free. They drag this girl out and Jesus is living, breathing like in the neighborhood there. And they drag him in front of Jesus, her in front of Jesus. And she's probably like half naked, just got caught hooking up, like this vulnerable, disgusting, looking for something to cover herself. And Jesus in that moment, like looks at everyone else and goes, who else hasn't sinned? Because you can kill her. You can hit her with rocks until she dies if you have never sinned either. And all these chumps are like, well, that sucked. And they walk away. And he tells this woman who just got caught doing something heinous in that culture at that time. He says, I'm going to forgive you of everything. Doesn't call her a whore. Doesn't tell her to go read her Bible. He just says, you are forgiven forever. So I'm laying that on top of what I'm about to say. So go to Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to lay this on top of you as well. Genesis 2. Let's see what was supposed to happen. Genesis 2 is the very first book in your Bible. It should be easy to find if you have a Bible app on your phone. Just type in G-E-N-2. We're going to be in verse 25. All right. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. This is right after God made man and made woman. And it says this. The man and his wife, so Adam and Eve, were both naked. And they felt no shame. The verse before that, it says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. So there's going to be a marriage happening. And they will become one flesh. And then zoom out on the scene here. This is rated R. This is not for the kids, right? This is a picture of a man and a wife both naked and feeling no shame. If you think it's awkward right now, lean back. Because this is not awkward. This is actually the way it was intended to be. There was no shame in their nudity together. There was no regret in that. There was no, oh dear, there was none of that happening. It was Adam and Eve as they were created to be by the God who created them and didn't make a mistake. I've made this clear before that Satan didn't sneak over and drop a penis on Adam and go, ha ha, sucker, good luck now. He made them that way, all right? He made them that way. And this is beautiful because they were naked and they had no shame. So in this topic of sexuality and hooking up, shame was never God's idea. It was never his plan for this to be injected into the scene. Shame was not God's plan. But shame has been, this is a terrible euphemism, birthed into this because we've jacked it up. I mean, we made it like one day with God and then kind of screwed this one up. And I'm teaching on this topic because I know that there's probably not a more important thing for you to grab a hold of and to start living out than this idea of your sexuality. And there's probably not a topic that the culture disagrees with me more on. The culture that you're a part of, that you are a fish swimming in these waters. You may be a fish, you just don't even know you're wet. What I mean is you live in a culture that has a few different things that they think about sex, and I'm gonna take a swing at a few. There's a few things that I believed for years and years and years, a few lies that I believed about sexuality, that in fact, I was taught, not just by my friends, but even by my mom, who doesn't listen to the podcast. And so I offer that to you just to say, I was growing up hearing things like, well, you shouldn't just marry someone you've never had sex with. How are you going to know if the sex is any good? Which was one of the most awkward conversations that my mom and I have ever had. And I'm like, whoa, like, mom, yeah, because I was five. I got baggage. The idea that you have to test drive the car to make sure you want to buy it has found its way into our dating relationships. You're in high school. You're probably not going to marry the person you're dating. One or two of you in the room will, and I don't mean to make it awkward. Is it us? Most of you won't. When you get into college, I'm teaching you now. I just saw a boyfriend kiss his girlfriend. You're so sweet over there. Oh my gosh. If you need to know, let me just help you. If you're wondering if you're sexually compatible with the person you're dating, you are. Congratulations. You don't need, there, I just gave it to you. If you're wondering if it's going to work, yes, it will work. Okay. You're compatible. Congratulations. All the parts are there. Okay. Now, what we have a tendency to do though, is to step into this justification and this understanding where it's like, we've been dating for a while and When you're at the movie for the first time, this played itself out in your life, probably a handful of you. You go to a movie, which is the weirdest place to go on a date. Let's sit in a dark room and not talk at all for 2 hours. That's not awkward. What's she thinking? So what do? You don't lift the armrest. You leave it down because you have opportunities here. You'll lift it on the second date because then you're snuggling. But on the first one, what's going on? You put your arm there, and then she puts her arm there too, right? And then you feel like his arm hair. Hopefully not a lot, right? But it's okay if you do. And then you're like, does she know that we're touching? Like, does she realize right now that our arms are touching? I mean, you've been Facebook stalking this girl for months. This is a big moment. Right? Make your Instagram profiles private. Thank you. That was just free. And then what happens? I'm sorry, babe, but I have an illustration that I wanted to use. And it's not about you. I dated this girl, Kelly. This sucks. Why'd you come? We went to a movie. And I remember this was my cheesiest moment of all time. But I remember, like, that whole scene probably unfolded. And we were seeing, like, a scary movie. It was a Tom Cruise movie where he was, like, in the future. And I forget, like, everything was, like, face technology. And I can't remember what it was. But it was a kind of a scary movie. And I looked over and I went, hey, I'm really sorry, babe. I said, hey, Kelly, if you get scared, you can hold my hand. You're laughing, suckers, but it worked. Shut up, Hunter. She's in my small group, my biggest project. Anyway. I love you, dude. Because you're just like me. And then you hold hands. Because that worked, by the way. And then we eventually broke up, and I'm going to use her as an illustration next week as well. But we did. We broke up because I married this one. This one, my lovely bride. If that was like, this one! And there's some top ramen, and there's a dog, and a tree, and that one. No, you miss it. But what happens? I mean, what happens when you try to fully express your love, and you've already touched arms, and you've already held hands, and you've already kissed, and then you've already, like, varsity kissed, and then what? Where's the hand go? And then where's his trajectory taking you, right? I want to keep expressing my love, and we're running out of things. Peck on the cheek just doesn't say I love you anymore. And you're trying to find ways to express your feelings and your emotions. You've been wired up in such a way that you're not just a talker, but you want to express yourself physically. And so you end up doing that because that's where the trajectory takes you. My advice to you is the same advice I give to my 2-year-old when he throws a tantrum. Use your freaking words. Like, use your words. If you're like, I've got to express myself fully to them, use your words, man, because you ain't married. Okay, so I'm going to pull off on that for just a second. Here's why. Because I dated a lot of girls in high school and probably more in college. And I don't brag about that. I didn't date as many as my friends, but I was just with a crowd of guys that was horny. And they just always hooked up and they were always dating. I'm sorry, too far. Whatever, you listen to Kesha. I can say what I want. And so I give my life to Christ at 21, and it didn't make me a saint, like a perfect, but it forgave me of everything. Before my 21st birthday, and before that big year where Christ came into my life, I literally actually came into his instead. I stepped into this relationship with God, this new walk. I wasn't a pastor yet. I was just a follower of Jesus. But I had memories. I had ex-girlfriends. I had lost my virginity in college. I think maybe in high school, but I was really drunk. I'm not sure what happened. But I mean, I had all these excuses, and I haven't hooked up as many as these people. But when I stepped into my relationship with my amazing wife, I had baggage. On our first date, we went down to Scottsdale, watched a movie, and went to the park. And it was July, so I was sweating. Imagine that. But on that date, I had baggage. Like, baggage. This is from Goodwill. Cost me about $2. I think it's glorious. I'm going to keep it. But it represents, it is fancy, but my baggage wasn't. I was carrying around with me in my emotions and my memories and my thoughts all the things that I'd ever said and done with any other girl. I was carrying around the memories and the pictures and the faces and all of that on this date as a Christian, fully forgiven, fully set free, fully loved by God, but absolutely positively crystal clear on my memories, except for the drunk ones about my previous relationships. So I had baggage on our first date. And I stepped into that relationship and And I just, on our first date, imagine I had put this on the table at Kona Grill and opened it up and said, oh, I've got some baggage in here that you probably should know about. Man, because when I was in high school, like porn was just starting in AOL and all that. I just really was interested in that. And oh, by the way, there was this girl and there was this other girl. And I had this girlfriend and I had this thing. I didn't even know this girl. I was on Mill Avenue on New Year's Eve of 2000. And I don't even know what happened there. But I have all this baggage. Do you want an appetizer or like a drink? Where are you going? Like, can you imagine, like, busting out your baggage on your first date of all of the things that you've tried to hide, all the memories that you have, all the shame that you carry around from all the mistakes that you've made and all the experiments and all the whoops and all that? You wouldn't want to walk down the aisle with this. And I'm not shaming you right now, but I'm being real, because you absolutely are loved by God. And you are absolutely, if you are a follower of Jesus, forgiven by him for everything. But that doesn't, he absolutely positively loves you, but he can't erase the past. He can't just erase your memories. He can give you an amazing future from this moment on. He can absolutely promise you that. But he doesn't remove those memories and that baggage from your life. I mean, this is a little bag. Mine would have been like a traveling hockey team worth of luggage coming down. If this was literal and I literally had bags on our wedding day, there would have just been luggage stacked to the ceiling around me and the groomsmen and the best. And she would have rolled down with her own and I would have been like... But we are forgiven of that, but we absolutely, positively, I would hate you if I didn't say this to you. The decisions that you make in your dating relationship, they don't just magically disappear. They stay. They stay with you. They do. They stay with you forever. My wife and I have a fantastic relationship. For a while, it was really, really hard, and we both brought baggage into this thing, and God has absolutely redeemed that. But you're on the front side. You're on the front side. You are in an amazing spot right this moment to drop the baggage and to leave it behind. So when your culture is saying all these things about, well, this is that, and you should do this and this and that, or you should even, I've heard this one. You should be hooking up with people to prepare for marriage. You want to have a great wedding night. So I'll help you with that. Hey, I'll show you a couple things you can do with your future husband. I'll teach you as a friend. It doesn't need to be anything more than sex. You need to punch that kid in the crotch, right? But you're going to hear that. Like, you need to be really good at this. No, your wedding night should be the most awkward night of your entire life. You want that. The last thing you want to hear on your wedding night is, wow, you're really good at this. It should be awkward. You should be terrified. When my wedding, I'll give you a vulnerable moment that'll freak you out. When my wedding was over, I hate weddings typically, except for the ones that I officiate. I'm sorry. I love those. But typically when I'm at a wedding, I'm like, yo, can we roll? Because I don't like to dance because I just absolutely can't. And there's nothing in me that's like, I want to dance. No, I'm not suppressing it. I hate dancing. It's weird. But at weddings, I had a blast at mine. Dang, she was crazy hot. I cried. I've showed you that photo a couple of years ago. I threw it up on the screen of me like, as she came down the aisle because the emotion got the best of me. And she was gorgeous. And so we spent 2 hours talking to people and we didn't even really get to eat anything. And the whole like 13-hour day was exhausting, right? Just exhausting in a great way. But really, you're tired. And me in like a suit for 6 hours, I'm just sitting there like, I better shower. Anyway, so I was just absolutely just exhausted. And then my cousin Alan pulls the Hummer up. I don't even know where that came from, but there's a Hummer and there's a bunch of people like lined up saying goodbye to us and high fives. And that's awkward, dude. Where are they going? Don't worry about it, son. Like, because we're going to our wedding night and I had surprised her and we were going to be in this kind of dumpy hotel in Phoenix. And I instead like made a different reservation. The first one was in Mesa and I made this like really nice one at the, what was it called? The Ritz. And we had this super nice room, but before we got there, we had to get into the Hummer, and everyone's watching us as we pile in, and I get in first, and I'm looking out at the crowds, like, smiling and waving and clapping, whatever is happening, and I, in my heart, I've had two guns pulled on me in my life. I've been literally chased by gang members who had bats and chains. I stood before a judge and faced years in prison. Welcome, new kids. But I've never been more terrified than the moment they shut the door of the Hummer and we were heading to the hotel. I was freaking out, terrified, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I was so scared. And I want that for you. I want you to make wise decisions in your dating relationship for this reason. It's wise. So in light of your future hopes for marriage, most of you are going to get married. A couple of you maybe not, but it's most of us, we want to get married someday. In light of your future hopes for that marriage, what's the wise thing to do in your daily dating life? In light of your future hopes, in light of what you want to tell your little girl someday about dating or your son, what are the wise decisions to make now? In light of who you currently are and who you know you are and what you struggle with and when you're tempted and where you're tempted, what's the wise thing to do about dating? And I've never been the one to go, don't date, it's wicked and horrible, you little heathens. But I have gone, all right, man, you're stepping into a game. This is a dangerous game. It could be a great game. You can learn a lot and become a great person and learn lots of life skills, but you're stepping into something. And in light of who you know you are, right this moment, and in light of what you want in the future, what's the wise thing to do to protect you and to protect them? Let's go a step backwards. In light of your past that you know about, forgiven or not, but in light of your past mistakes and failures, what's the wise thing to do right now when it comes to dating? We won't even get into the why you should date or if you should date. We're just zooming out and going, is this a good idea for me? It's natural to want to. It's natural. It's a good thing. God made it that way. And you're already there. You're 14 and you're already like, I wish I had a boyfriend. Right? It's in you. It's normal. And the girls really want the like emotional connection, and the guys really just want the, you know, your body. But it's there. Like, we want a little bit more than that, but when you boil us down, that's there. And the problem is the girls that want this emotional connection and the guys that want the physical connection, you'll just trade. You'll give her the emotional stuff to get the physical, and she'll give you the physical to get the emotional, and then you break up and hate each other. That's about next week. But was I talking too fast? Because some of you are confused, and then everyone else that's quiet is like, dang it, yep. He totally knows what he's talking about right now. But in light of your future hopes, that's the best thing I can give you. I would ask you to want something better. Better than a quick hookup, better than some sort of quick this and that, better than that. So here's where I get super practical with you. You with me still? Are we all right? I'm a 34-year-old man talking to teenagers about sex. All right, I'm the vulnerable one here, okay? So stay with me for a second. I'm on a stage and I'm elevated, but not spiritually. I'm in this with you, okay? And so from the heart of a pastor who genuinely loves you, I will steal that phrase from our lead pastor, Mark. He says that all the time. From my heart to yours, as I genuinely want the best for you and I'm fighting for your joy, hear me for just a minute. You can't look like everyone else in the culture in this regard. You just can't. You can't adopt the culture's view on sexuality. You can't. You've got to be different in this. And this may be the very thing that your difference shows other, that there's a different way to live. This may be the thing that people notice, your dating relationships. And they may go, why are you? And you're going to be able to say, man, there's something that I'm fighting for that's even better than hooking up. Hey, did you get some? No, buddy. Oh, you're gay. Okay. You're going to get that. She's a prude. Every husband wants his wife to be a prude until the wedding day, and then you're no longer a prude. But it's okay. You're dealing with pressures coming from locker room chatter and hallway chatter and a bunch of peeps that aren't going to matter in a few years. But your future husband or wife will. So in light of that, babysitters. If you're a babysitter or a house sitter, do your homework. Like literally. When you go over to the house to watch the kids and they've gone off to a date, like the people that own the home, and you're the babysitter, like I just tapped into like 50 of the girls, right? You have a house, right? And so you have a house and you have a boyfriend too. So you have options. Call your boyfriend and have him come over and watch a romantic comedy or not. And not. When it comes to doing like that situation, don't throw yourself into a situation that you absolutely know is going to be dangerous. Instead, maybe grab a book, read something. Like, I would give you an alternative, but I would say to you, if you want to fail, set yourself up like this. I know this because this is an incredibly tempting situation. When you get alone, when the guy basically parents go away, and he's just like, yeah, come over and let's watch a movie. A couple things that I keep bringing up. One that'll set you up for success. When you're watching a movie with your boyfriend or girlfriend, I would not share a blanket. If she's cold, give her a freaking sweater. All right? It's so cold in here. It is totally cold. Actually, give her two sweaters. That's going to help your efforts here. Don't grab a blanket and sit under it. You're just asking for it. You're asking for something to happen. It's so tempting, right? But you're not dumb. You know you, and you need to set up boundaries before you get there. You need to set up boundaries with your boyfriend or girlfriend before you even get there and say, hey, we're never going to cross this line. And girls, look for a guy who's going to say that to you. Look for a guy who's going to say, hey, I just want you to know, like, I really like you. And if you're wondering why I'm not crossing that line, it's actually because I genuinely do like you and I'm trying to protect you. And find a guy who's going to say that. Find a guy who's going to fight for your purity. I'm making some guys mad right now, probably. So I'll just look at the floor. No, I'll look at you. I'm absolutely just fighting for the girls in the room because there's guys in the room. They're not all evil and wicked guys, but we're all the same. And you got to find a guy who's got the manhood. He actually loves Jesus enough to not hook up with you and to say, hey, we're going to save that because you're not my wife. You're not mine. And so I'm going to save that. Now, this isn't legalistic. This isn't me shaming you. This is me protecting you going, you've got something beautiful and you got a guy. And I'm fighting for the girls right now, but fellas, like, there's hoochies out there. They're coming after you, all right? There's girls out there that have all sorts of, have I ever said that phrase in my life? There's hoochies out there and they're coming after you. Tweet that. But I'm saying, like, if you don't get intentional about setting up boundaries, you will make the wrong decision in the moment. I know. If you haven't already had the conversation with them and said, this is absolutely off the line. Your hands do not go here, here, or here. Like if you have not had that conversation, but that's awkward. So is parenting. All right. So you absolutely want to have the conversation with them in advance and say, hey, we're going to set up some boundaries and here's some things and find a guy that's going to go, I'll never violate you. I will fight for that. And when you fail, if you fail, you're still loved by God, but he's set these things up to protect you. God's not in heaven going, why did I do that? Why did I create this sexual intimacy thing? He created it so that you would experience it in the context of marriage and absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. Not to hijack it and to try to make it your own. So in light of that, let me show you an amazing example of someone who cared about that. Go to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. Here's a dude who had a chance to hook up. Husband was out of the house. Here's the wife. He's there working in the home. Genesis chapter 39. This is a story of Joseph, who we'll dig into at summer camp a little bit more. Genesis 39, let's go to verse 6. All right, so 6, it's talking about Potiphar, and then it references Joseph. So he, Potiphar, left in Joseph's care everything he had. Now with Joseph in charge, he, Potiphar, did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. He didn't have no worries. He trusted this guy. And here's a little bit about Joseph. Now, Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. All right, so usually like more subtle. But she's got a line, and she's like, let's hook up. Let's have some sex, right? That's what she's saying to him. She's inviting him into the bedroom. So Joseph's an employee there. He's just a guy, a good-looking guy. So he's got troubles. The ladies are noticing. He's well-built. He's handsome. And so this girl who's got wedding problems, marriage problems, she notices him and she invites him into this thing, this little secret. It's just a secret. He'll never know. He's off on business. He's running his thing. Let's hook up. Come to bed with me. So creative. But he refused. Whoa, what's going on with this guy? He just had an opportunity for some free, it's just sex, right? But he refused. And he says this to her. With me in charge, he told her, my master, your husband, does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you. Because you're his wife. He probably didn't say it like that. How then could I do, this is the most important verse. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. So this dude set some boundaries. He's like, can't go near her. She wants it. I'm not going anywhere near this girl. She wants to hook up. And so he's like, boundary. I can't even be in the room with her. Potentially good advice for some of you. We'll see. I wonder how many of you will come back next week because I'm being a little stern. I love you. Please come back. One day he went into the house to attend to his duty. So he's just working. And none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. If he doesn't have his cloak on, my brother is naked. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants and she's like, look, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. She's so weird. He came in here to blah, blah, blah. And she makes up this big excuse, but this dude runs naked out of the house because he doesn't want to hook up, because he doesn't want to sin against God. His idea of sexuality is so deeply rooted in God and him and their relationship that him hooking up with this girl wasn't just sex. It was absolutely deeply intertwined with who he is, and that gift, her sexuality, belonged to her husband. And he's like, no, 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 how could I ever do such a thing and sin against God? I could never do that to God. 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 Not to your, but he didn't even mention the husband. The sin wasn't against him necessarily directly. He was going, no, 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 I can't sin against God. This is a gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that you and I, we are not our own. We belong to God, that we've been bought with a price. The price was the cross. Therefore, honor God with your body is what it says. Focus on this or you will absolutely suffer. And that's the most loving thing I can say to you. As someone who has suffered and has carried baggage and is saying to you now, this is a beautiful good thing. That if you don't set up boundaries. So let me give you some more practical advice that I think Saturday hated. If you have not listened to me for long, this may come off wrong. If you've been here for a while, I get labeled by other pastors and teachers as maybe someone who believes a little bit too much in God's grace. I'll take that error. That maybe I throw grace around too much and talk too much about forgiveness and not enough about stepping up your game and following Jesus and the severity of God and the wrath of God and all those things. And I've taken some heat for that. That I believe God's grace is, okay, so I'm that guy. I'm that guy that's like, no, 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 you are a dirtbag and I'm a dirtbag and God loves us. That's weird. He just does. But if you're already sinking, like if you're already failing, if you're already so far down the road that you don't even know how you got there and you don't know how to get back, you've got to get like serious about this. If you're dating someone, or maybe this is advice you'll give to someone who is, that's maybe not here. If you're dating someone and you're crossing the line sexually and you're going further than you know God wants you to, and you love God and you love them, otherwise why would you, right? The best advice I can give you is break up. If you're already crossing the line, break up. That in so many hearts right now, you're fighting that. You're going, no, 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 not me, not us. This is bad advice. No, it's really, really good advice. Now hear this. At least separate. At least break up for a while. And here's why. Every adult in the room will absolutely agree with me, or they're lying. Once you cross that line, once you start doing something, once it's exceeded the arm touching and hand holding and the smoochy, once you've crossed the line, it's almost impossible to go back. You can repent all you want. I'm never going to do that again, God. I promise, God, we're never going to ever do that again. We're never going to get naked again. I'll never touch your boobs again. I'll never touch his... Right? You giggle, but I'm telling you, it's almost impossible to go back. I love that there's new people here that are like, what the heck did I sign up for? I just gave you some really good advice. Now, at least break up for a while. And it doesn't mean I hate you. It means, no, I really like you and I can't be around you. Because anytime we're together, history repeats itself. Put some space there. Put some space there. Put some space there. You like movies? Watch them with friends. Put some space there. Now, if you've crossed the line, so did I. And I'm a pastor. I work for God. I'm on his payroll. So he's not in heaven going, I can't use that chump. But he is going, I have a better way. I have a better way. But it's got to be you. So in light of your past mistakes and how they're affecting you today, in light of who you are today and who you know you are and what you struggle with and where you don't yet have victory, and in light of what you want in the future, in light of who you want to marry and what you want that to be like, what's the wise thing to do when it comes to dating? If you just heard me say, break up with them and shun them, that's not what I said. That's what Saturday heard. I already heard it twice. I'm like, no, you weren't listening. I'm saying put some space there because you need to protect yourself because you're weak like I am. And you probably just need to say, hey, let's spend some time apart until we're strong enough to be in the same room together without getting naked. And I'm going to close with that. I love you. Now I'm going to pray for you. Okay. So Father, Daddy, that's what you want us to call you. And so I think of my kids, and no matter what mistakes either one of those two little men make, someday they might blow it. I will always, always, always welcome them home. I will always love them. I will always call them my kids. I think of them and my love for them, and then I compare that to your love for us, and my love looks like hate. My love is imperfect. My love sucks. My love for my wife looks like hate compared to your love for every single person listening. And so there's no shame or condemnation coming from you. There's a loving Father saying, there's a better way. There's a better way. Help us to soften our hearts to believe that. Help us to make some changes if we need to make some changes. And thank God there's some of us in the room who still have this gift of our sexual innocence. And help us to protect that because it's a gift to be given someday. And some of us have absolutely blown it, including me. I know that you love us and you, from this moment on, can promise an incredible future. And so I pray these things and I claim them and I hope for them and I plead for you that you would protect these people and give them wisdom. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So you will get a flyer on your way out of here. I absolutely love you. Have a good day. See you next week.